The apostle says that that the Corinthian church would be saved, and that word simply means to be delivered. To be saved is to be delivered from something. Noah saved his household by building an ark, and they were delivered from the destruction that was brought on by the flood. And the apostle Paul is telling Timothy here that he would deliver himself and those that would hear him if he continued in the doctrine that he had received. And that the Corinthian church, if they kept in memory those things that they had received and wherein they stood, they were standing steadfast in those things. And if they depart from them, then they would no longer be considered adhering to the doctrine that the Lord had given the church, which is what identifies the church from all other religious organizations in the world. The church is identified by the truth that it preaches. It's said to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the church of the living God. It's the temple of God. And the Lord, just as he was with the Israelites and dwelt in the tabernacle in the midst of Israel, the camp of Israel, when they camped, God dwelt above the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, in the Shekinah glory, the cloud that hovered above the mercy seat there. And he was in the midst of his people. And Christ says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And so just as he was in the tabernacle under the days of Moses' law, while he was in the midst of his people in a peculiar and in a particular way, that he was not with all the other nations of the earth. They were a peculiar people unto him, and a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And Apostle Peter says that the church of God today is the same, that they are a peculiar people and a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we are called kings and priests unto God, just as the nation of Israel in their day offered up sacrifices according to the law of Moses, which was they had five clean animals that they could offer up as sacrifices. But they were dead. They had to be killed and the blood sprinkled, and certain parts of the animals were used and for different occasions and different things. But the apostle says we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are a living creature, and we are to present these bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God. And and just as they had priests in those days to offer up praise and thanksgiving and sacrifices to God, we are called a priest unto God, and we are to offer up the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, the fruit of our lips, the scripture says. And so the church today is just as a peculiar and a people that has been set aside and set aside and sanctified for the witness of God here in the earth, as the Israelites were in their day. The Israelites was in force for about 1,500 years. If you want to go back to the calling of Abraham, it'd be close to 2,000 years. And now the church of our Savior has been in existence for about 2,000 years. And many think it's drawing close to the end of the times of the Gentiles. The scripture says that Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. Jerusalem, the Jews have been gathered back to Jerusalem, but they're gathered back in unbelief, and they're not gathered back into a corporate worshiping community as they were before. They have no temple, they have no priesthood, and though there is a godly element among them, under the still trying to would love to erect the temple again and institute sacrifices and the same worship they had before. And many people think they will, but I just don't see myself how it could fit whatever purpose it would serve. Those things were just types and shadows of what would be fulfilled when the true great high priest came, and when the true Lamb of God came, and when he offered up that perfect sacrifice and satisfied the demands of the law, and his Father was satisfied with that sacrifice to the extent that he raised him from the dead. That temple has served its purpose. Those things that were said to be types and shadows are now not needful anymore, because the substance itself has come. As we read here, now that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Some people seem to think that the gospel brings life, that without the gospel you could have no life. And they say that in preaching the gospel, the Spirit uses the gospel to convince sinners to accept the Lord, and when they do, then they are born again. And the minute that you accept the Lord under the sound of the gospel and by the power of the Spirit, that you become a child of God, and then from there on you are to serve Him. But the Scriptures plainly teach that the natural man receives not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned, and they are foolishness unto him. And that for a man to have the ability to receive, to understand the gospel, he must have spiritual understanding. He must be born of the Spirit, for the simple reason that if you're not, it is foolishness unto them. The Jews seek for a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, the apostle said. But to them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so in the preaching of the gospel, God has chose to save them that believe. And it's foolishness to those that perish, the Scripture says. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness. I saw a good example of that yesterday. My wife testified to it there in a funeral we conducted. We had the friends and loved ones of the family that was there, but there was a man there that was well known for that more or less has contempt for the gospel and things religious. And while I was preaching about this good shepherd and great shepherd and chief shepherd that we have that's come and redeemed his children, this man was dusting off the window sill and playing with the books and doing everything he could to keep from listening. He just wasn't interested. As a matter of fact, I was wondering why he was even there. But his wife was sitting there, and she didn't move or blink an eye. She was taking in everything was said. So to one, the gospel was the power of God and the wisdom of God. To another, it's foolishness. It's just a waste of time as far as they are concerned. And so then the Apostle Paul, but in order for the gospel to be preached, to be the wisdom of God and the power of God to the Lord's children, it must be the gospel that the Lord gave us. It can't. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. If the Lord, in His wisdom, would wanted us to have all of the auxiliaries and the different side attractions that so many religious organizations had, we're confident that they would. He would have provided us instructions for that, and how the teachers of those things should be instructed and would qualify them. He would give us their qualifications, just as He has for our deacons and our ministers. And so there is no, the Lord did not overlook something. He did not forget something when he gave us the inspired word of God. He directed us in all truth and verity. And Apostle Paul, in his preaching, though he was called a false apostle by some, he said that the promises of God were yea and amen. They were not yea and nay. Some were coming preaching things that were yea and nay. And they had some negatives in there. But he said they were not yea and nay, but the promises of God are yea and amen. And beloved, when a man's born of the Spirit of God and he hears the gospel preached as the Lord gave it to us, or something out in here that says yea and amen. They verify. There's a witness there. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, and we have their assurance that is true. And though we may not be able to explain it to our own satisfaction or someone else's satisfaction, and though we cannot understand the great mysteries that's revealed here concerning God and His Son and their salvation, yet we believe it, and we receive it, and we stand upon it. And as long as we stand upon that, we are standing on solid ground. We're like a man that's built a house on a rock. And when the winds and the storms come, it'll stand. But when you move off of that foundation and begin to mix and mingle the different theories of men in with the gospel of Christ, you're building your house on sand. And when the winds blow and the rains come, the foundation will be washed out, and that house will fall. And the Lord said, great will be the fall of it. But this, beloved, will stand until the day when the Lord, when that last trump shall sound, and the Lord with a great sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and the very skies shall part like a scroll, and God Himself, our Savior, that blessed Savior and blessed hope whom we look for, shall come, and He'll come for His purchased possession. He's coming for the saints, and says that He'll be admired by His saints. And won't that be a great day, beloved, when we see our Savior for ourselves, like Job said, my eyes shall behold Him, and we'll see Him, and won't we admire Him, and won't we adore Him, and praise Him, and fall at His feet and worship Him forever and forever. And I think we will forever be learning of the great salvation that He's provided for us. Here we just talk about before the foundations of the world, the things that took place in eternity, and I don't think there's any end to for the saints to be learning more and more, and to how to adore and to praise what God has done for them, how He has loved them, and how He has provided for them these things in the world to come. And so the apostle is admonishing Timothy here to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ, and not to be set back by the temporal things of this world that fall upon us. Paul was in prison, but he said, don't let that hinder you. The word of God is not bound. Our God is not bound, and He's able to reach His people wherever they are and whatever befalls them. Paul and Silas was in prison once, and they sang in the midnight hour, and there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came in and took the shackles off of Peter when he was in prison. There's nothing too hard for our God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. The winds and the waves at His command, and the animals, time and space is nothing to Him. When He walked upon the sea in the midst of the storm and entered into the ship, and He said immediately the ship was at the shore. And so space and time and the elements are all at the command of our God, because He is the Creator. He created these things. and they are at his disposal and at his command. And so when we run into a little a hardship, we want to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints and not to be not to fall aside, not to fail to do that which is expected of us. Over in this second chapter, the apostle goes on and he says, he's still exhorting Timothy to be strong in the faith, and says, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so here we have, the apostle says that he, though he was in bonds and he was suffered trouble, he said that he endured all of these things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And I consider this statement to be two different things. The salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory is the salvation that Timothy would remain having if he adhered to the doctrine that he received. The apostle says, if you hold fast to these things and don't be moved away from them, so you will save yourself and them that hear thee. And so he had received a savings in the gospel that he had received from the apostle Paul, a man that the Lord had called himself and qualified. Apostle Paul said the things that he preached, he did not receive it of man, but that neither was he taught it of man, but he received it of the Lord. And that which he had received, he had taught others, and Timothy was one of them. And in order for him to continue in the salvation that he had received there, that is, in this salvation is concerning this doctrine, this truth that comes when the Lord came and the types and shadows under the law service was fulfilled. It says that immortality and light was brought, and life was brought to light through the gospel, and that is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Apostle Paul was an appointed preacher unto. And so the church then is a place where the gospel is preached, where the Lord's people can come and hear the gospel, and it's the power of God and it's the wisdom of God unto them. And there is a deliverance for them in the gospel. They have eternal life in Christ Jesus. It was given them in Christ before the world began, and it is theirs. And whether they hear the gospel or not, it's still theirs. And whether they obey the gospel or not, it's still theirs. It says here that it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Beloved, in a legal sense and in a judicial sense, when Christ died, the church died. When he died fulfilling the demands of the law, they died to the demands of the law, and it was fulfilled. And when he raised again, they raised again in a judicial and a legal sense, but in a practical sense. And this time it says here, but if we if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And as we suffer for Christ here in the world, we reign with him. When we deny ourselves, when the Lord's people, through the leadership of the Spirit which is in them when they're blessed to obey that voice that teaches them this doctrine and these commandments and ordinances that the Lord has given the church, and they deny themselves and take up their cross and follow their Lord, turn their back on the world and worldly things. They suffer the loss of some things out there, but they begin to reign with Christ. We ascend up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus and rejoice in the Spirit of our God, rejoicing in those things that God the Father has done for us through His Son, God the Son, by which we is revealed to us by God the Spirit. And we are united together in a fellowship here and known as the Church of the Living God. And as we suffer with Him, we reign with Him in that sense. And I'm persuaded that the more we suffer for Him, the better we reign with Him. That is, the better fellowship we have with Him here in the world. And it says if we deny Him, He also will deny us. That is, if we spend our time in worldly things and deny Him, we lose. He denies us before the Father in the sense of fellowship. It doesn't change our relationship. If you're a son, you're a son. But your fellowship is something that can vary depending on your circumstances here in life. And so it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. The Lord cannot deny Himself. The Father has given Him a bride, and it is made up of a particular number of people that were given Him in covenant bonds before Adam, the first man, was ever made. And they must. He loves them because His Father gave them to Him. And He died for them, that He might redeem them and have them with Him in all eternity. In the 17th chapter of John, He said that the Father would glorify Him with the glory He had before the world was. And He said, a little later on, He said, I have given them this glory, and I would that they be where I am, that they might see the glory that Thou hast given me. And He says, just as I am in the Father and the Father in me, I am them and they are in me. And so, beloved, Christ cannot deny Himself as far as the eternal salvation of His church, because they are His bride. They are a purchased possession. They are a gift from His Father. And everything that ever He did to glorify God, His Father. And He said, glorify the Son, that the Son might glorify Thee. And that should be our prayer, beloved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. He that glorifieth the Son glorifieth the Father. And so we should ever be, it should ever be our goal in life to glorify the Son and the Father, because they are one. They are as one. And it was the Lord's everything that He did to satisfy His Father, that He might glorify Him. That's the reason He came and died, because His law is holy, just, and good. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. He gave it. But the reason it seems bad to us is because of our sinful nature. We can't keep it through the weakness of the flesh. But God sent one that did keep it. He could keep it. He couldn't do nothing but keep it, because He was God. He could not sin. And He kept it, beloved. He kept it to the fullest, jot and tittle, perfect. And it satisfied a perfect God. And He raised Him from the dead. And all of His children are in Him. Just as when God made the first man, all of His posterity was in Him. And we're said to be the members of Christ. And so God has saved us and called us with a holy calling. not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and His own grace that was given us in Christ before the world began. But now, He says, in this time that we're here, we are to adhere to the doctrine that we have received. We are to keep it in memory. We are to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. By doing that, we will remain as the church of the living God. We will have the identity of the church. If I'm not deceived, beloved, that's why I'm a Primitive Baptist today. I was brought up in a different order and then joined another order when I was about 30 years old. But yet they could not explain to me, to my satisfaction, how a soul was saved to God. They said I was saved by grace, but, and they put all kinds of things in there that just confused me to no end. But when the Lord led me to the house of my brethren, and I heard that wonderful gospel preached, and I heard that trumpet blown, there was no uncertain sound about it. Everything in here said yea and amen. I knew it was the truth, and I rejoiced in it. I've been rejoicing in it ever since. And there's no other sound like it on this side of eternity. It's all yea and amen. Yea and amen. There's no nays in it. God has saved His people with an everlasting salvation. And there's no way it can fail. We can be up and down in our fellowship. I agree with that. But as far as our life in Christ, it's safe, it's secure, and it's sure. May God add His blessings to His precious world, and may it prosper the church here and in this locality, everywhere, till the final day comes. And we might be a little light and a testimony to His marvelous grace and mercy. We'll publish the doors of the church open as we sing a hymn, Strike the Glad Hands of Fellowship. What shall we sing, brethren?
Page 73.
Page 73. The doors of the church are published open. Sing when you're ready.
Grace is a charming sound. Right.
invite everybody to stay if you can and to eat with us and fellowship with us while we eat. I don't have any appointments. Does anybody have any announcements or appointments?
Leave.
Well, if anybody knows of us, bow with us. We'll ask the Lord to dismiss us. Most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in humble adoration and hearts of thanksgiving to thee for the wonderful blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for the church that thou hast founded and hast promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We pray, Lord, that it might be according to thy will and purpose to keep the church here at Reedsville, that she might continue to be a light and testimony of thy marvelous grace, and we might hold fast to the doctrine that thou gave our apostles, who committed to men, they might commit it to others, and from generation after generation we might assemble here at this little place and sing thy praises and praise thee for thy marvelous grace and loving kindness that thou bestowed upon us. Now, Father, we take the part in hand, dismiss us in thy care, be our light and darkness and our strength and weakness, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.